Psalm 104 is really a song about the creation, praising God for His creation. And actually, as we go through Psalm 104, we're going to be looking at the 6 days of creation. It's a real parallel to what's written in Genesis chapter 1, and very, very exciting to see. And right there in the creation, as God so often does, it's amazing the way God does this. He can give you the very largest of His teachings, that is, that He's created the whole world and the universe and all that's in everything. At the same time, He is so personal, that He can meet you in a quiet place anywhere, or in a loud place even, and speak to you in very intimate ways and answer the tiniest questions that you think God wouldn't have time to answer for you. It's just amazing to see. And this psalm, as we read it tonight, will have both in it, the very large and the very, very intimate inside the heart things coming forth. And so I'm excited about this psalm. I love this psalm. Psalm 104. It's all about creation, as I just shared with you. And the praises, the glory of creation, singing of the glory of creation in vivid poetic detail, as one commentator puts it. But we need to always remember, it's not the praising of the creation that's going on, but the praising of the Creator. Look at the first three words in this psalm. Psalm 104, verse 1, bless the Lord. That's who we bless. Not the trees. We don't bless the trees. Or the creation itself. We thank God for it, and we love it and see His glory in it. But we're always blessing the Lord. Amen? Oh, yes. The creation just reminds us of His handiwork. So it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God. Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. And now, from verses 1 through 9 here, are verses, are actually creation day 1, creation day 2, and the first part of creation day 3 in the first 9 verses of Psalm 104. So as we begin reading verse 2, we see the light. Remember when the Lord said, let there be light, and there was light. Well, let's read verse 2. Bless you, Lord, who are clothed with honor and majesty. And then verse 2 says, who covers thyself with light as with a garment. And so we just picture when He said, let there be light, there was just light. No sun yet, oh, no moon yet, no stars yet. That comes later in creation. Oh yeah, but there's light. And it's like a garment, the garment of the Lord, who covers thyself with light as with a garment, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain. And so this is how God sees it. This is how the psalmist is bringing it in his song. It's like a curtain, a garment of just pure light. Who lays the beams of His chambers in the waters, who makes the clouds His chariot, who walks upon the wings of the wind, who makes His angels spirits, His ministers a flaming fire. Now, talking of the angels as a flaming fire, talking about their swiftness as flames kind of lick out and lick back, the swiftness of the angels, and also that God's angels so many times carried out His judgments, as we think of the angels that were sent to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And so as a flaming fire, the strength that's in the angels that God has prepared and anointed, and also a angel with a flaming sword that cuts on every side, escorted Adam and Eve out of the garden after they sinned. And so He makes His angels spirits, His ministers of flaming fire, who laid the foundations of the earth, that it should not be removed forever. You cover it with the deep, as with a garment. Now we picture the light, and then we picture the Lord, His Spirit. This is from verse 2 of Genesis 1, moving upon the waters. The Spirit of God moved upon and over the waters. And so we read here, you cover it with the deep as with the garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At thy rebuke they fled, at the voice of thy thunder, they hastened away. Now, as we're talking about the waters, and we'll go to creation here in a minute to Genesis 1, but actually what was happening is that there was all water, all over the earth in the beginning of creation. And the Lord, it says here, rebuked. At thy rebuke, they fled. The waters went back, and the voice of thy thunder, they hastened away. And so the Lord spoke, and the land appeared, and that will be later in the creation, but it's talking now about the waters part. As he spoke, and the waters fled back, and the Indian Ocean was formed, and the Atlantic and the Pacific, as God was just speaking, and they fled back, the waters, so that the mountains were uncovered and the land did appear. And so, speaking of that, concerning the water, although the bringing forth of the land will be a little later. Now, verse 8, they go up by the mountains, they go down by the valleys into the place which thou hast founded for them. Thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over. This is also recorded in Job 26, where actually the Lord set boundaries for the water. And I'm so glad he did that. And I remember one time when Sherry and I were down at Crystal Cove in Laguna Beach reading a book together, and we were in front of some rocks, and the tide was coming in and lapping on our toes. And the Lord kind of kept it from coming in too far to get us and let us stay there and read for a while. And I just felt his love in that. Because you see, he has set the boundaries of the waters. He draws a line, and the ocean doesn't go past that. No, it doesn't. Not until he allows it. And so what we're reading here is the waters go up by the mountains as he caused them to withdraw from the land. They go down by the valleys unto the place which you have founded for them. He set the lines for the Indian Ocean. He set the lines for the Pacific and the Atlantic Oceans. Thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. And, you know, and covering the whole earth. Now, some believe that this might refer to the flood, because that's what happened. The Lord flooded the whole earth again. But it's actually talking about creation and the dynamic of the seas and the land. With that, I'd like to turn with you to Genesis chapter 1 and look at verses 6 through 10, because this explains more fully exactly how it happened. So we go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 6. Now God said, let there be a firmament, or a heaven, a space of air, a heaven, in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament, or under the sky, from the waters which were above the sky. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day. Now, what happened here is that God made a ring of water around the earth, kind of like the ring around Saturn. And so below the waters were the seas, below the firmament or the heaven were the seas, and above was a canopy of water all around the earth, full of water. And in those days, it was like a hothouse. There was a mist that went from the waters above the firmament or the heavens that watered the whole earth. And so you had that greenhouse effect, and everything was bigger. They have actually found ferns that were 60 feet high from those days, and cockroaches that were 3 feet long. Oh man, I'm glad I didn't live then a little bit. You know what I'm saying? And everything was bigger. Of course, the dinosaurs were running around, great big reptiles and so forth. But then when the flood came, the canopy was broken. And 40 days and 40 nights, it emptied and emptied and emptied and emptied. And that was the first time rain was, we're told in the Bible. and the whole earth was flooded again. For God saw the wickedness on the earth, and he spared Noah and his four sons and his daughter-in-laws and his wife and the ark on the ark as the ark floated above that. And then the canopy was gone. But in creation, you see, we had this canopy, hot room where, you know, where they grow plants bigger and stuff, tropical type situation to the max, worldwide, with no poles, no north or south pole. And so that was what was going on. Now let's read verse 8. And God called the firmament heaven. We already read this, but we'll just do it again. And the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together. So here we have what we had from Psalm 104, that God actually began to breathe or speak, and the waters fled and were gathered together so that the land could appear. And to be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. Notice plural, sea, plural, seas. And so we have the different oceans formed. And God saw it was really good. God does everything good, right? God is good. All the time? Amen. Okay, let's go back to Psalm 104 now. And now we've seen a very large thing in this creation. Notice God gathered the waters together. He formed the land. He just made things so beautifully. He's a very good designer. And, of course, the psalmist is singing about the glory of creation as we remember our theme. Now, I'd like to take you to verse 3 again. I didn't talk much about verse 3 because I wanted to bring you back to it. This makes the Word of God very personal. I want to give you a little testimony. Psalm 104, as I mentioned, we start, is very, very important to me, very personal to me, because it helped me in a great time of need. Sherry and I had gone to the airport to fly to Hawaii. We have two sisters from Hawaii tonight. Can you stand up for a second? Just let the people see you and greet you. Yes, they're from Oahu, and they're visiting tonight. They're on vacation, so amen. Well, Sherry and I were about ready to fly to Oahu, and we got to the airport. I forget which terminal it was, but that doesn't matter, does it? I was scared to death. This is when I used to be afraid to fly, until we ended up flying in a helicopter with no doors and no windows, and I loved it. And so I'm fine now. Take me anywhere. Anywhere you want to take me, I'll go. But at that time, I was afraid to fly, but I wanted to go to Hawaii so bad and see your beautiful land. And so Sherry and I were in the airport. The plane had a part they needed to change out. So it was just more and more scary sitting there waiting to get on the plane. And I was thinking about that great big large ocean, 3,000 miles of ocean we had to fly over in order to get to Hawaii. And so I was getting a little nervous and more nervous. But I was reading Psalm 104 because I knew the healing of fear is always the Word of God, right? God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And my mind was going a little crazy, a little fast, wanted to get that thing to be sound. Disciplined is another translation of that verse. And so it says, the Lord laid the beams of his chambers in the waters. And what I pictured is him making the foundation of the earth, the things that hold the earth together. You know, we know that that's Jesus Christ, and laying those foundations, the worlds were made through him, Jesus Christ, that this foundation in the waters, because of course the whole place was covered with water in the beginning. And so he lays the beams of his chambers, or the foundations of where God is in making the earth, in the waters. And so I began to picture that and see the Lord just being right there under me. Underneath you are the everlasting arms, the foundation maker arms, the great big contractor with the big hands that made the earth. And I began to get a little comforted. Then it says, who makes the clouds his chariot. I go, man, I'm going to get in the plane. And when I look out the window and see the clouds, that's God's chariot going right along with me. And there the Lord will be in his chariot, you know, maybe wave, you know, do the whip on the horses and wave. But that's his chariot, the clouds. And it just lifted me up in my heart. Yeah, Lord, that's your clouds. And then I love this one, who walks upon the wings of the wind. And so the Lord walking along on the wings of the wind, and the wings were mentioned. So I'm picturing the wings of the plane. And I look out and there's the wing, and I just picture the Lord walking on the wing. Maybe stepped out of his chariot for a minute. And he's and the wind is there and him walking on the wing. So that was a very comforting, intimate word from God for me to settle me down about this flight. And so here we have this tremendous creator. Isn't there a song like this? God of all creation, earth and heaven and sky. And then it goes on to talk about his personal relationship with us. Like there's a couple of songs like that. And it's just amazing how he can be so big and yet so personal. Personal enough to see a little suffering person in the Continental Airlines, or was it Hawaiian Airlines? One of those airlines, sitting in his chair, freaking out because he's going to fly on the plane, and takes time through his word to speak to me personally. And so I want to share that with you, because look for that in your life. And I'm going to keep looking for it every day in my life. Lord, speak to me individually and personally through your eternal word, which as you speaks about your glory and your tremendous awesomeness and hugeness, and yet so personal with such a sinner as I, really. And I don't want to call myself a sinner, because I do sin, but I'm not a sinner anymore. I belong to Jesus, and Jesus is not sin. Whosoever is born of God sins not. And it doesn't mean I never do anything wrong or sin anymore, but that in God's eyes, I'm a work in process that will be finished into perfection. When I see him, I'll be like him. And so I want to always just accept that fact through faith. Wash me, Lord, and I will be clean. Yes, whiter than snow, as the Bible teaches. So this is wonderful. And so the Lord, in this personal way, as well as in, okay. So let's go on now, and we want to read verses 10 through 18. And this is the rest of the third day. The first part of the creation of the third day was in these first verses here. And now we want to go to day three, the rest of it, in verses 10 through 18, as he begins to create the habitation for the animals. Where are the animals going to live? And let's read these verses. It says, he sends the springs unto the valleys which run among the hills. And so we now start talking about the fresh water. We've been talking about the salt water so far, but now in verse 10, we start speaking about the fresh water, the springs unto the valleys which run among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field, and the wild donkeys quench their thirst. By them shall the fowls of the heaven have their habitation. Now, key word in verse 12 is habitation. The birds have not been created yet. This is only day three, but their habitation is being created. So by them shall the fowls of the heaven have their habitation, which sing among the branches. Now, this is a wonderful thing to share about. The first part of creation is building the habitation, the living space for the birds, for the bees, for the animals, and for the trees, and for man himself, who was created in the sixth day. And so this is all happening at the end of day three, as God builds the habitation. I wanted to share a little testimony about this. My granddaughter, Ginger, loves snakes, of all things. She loves snakes. And so they were going to buy a new snake, because the other one got out and crawled in a hole in the wall somewhere. So, you know, I'm so glad I don't sleep there at night, aren't you? Yes, this is good. She got a new, was going to get a new snake. And so her daddy said, well, Gingy, first let's buy the snake, and then we'll build a home for the snake, you know. And Gingy says, oh, no, Daddy, we can't do that. We have to buy the snake cage first. and the log that goes in it and so forth. Because remember, Daddy, from Genesis chapter 1 in the creation.
Whoa, tell you little Bible scholar going on here.
She says, first God made the habitation for the animals, then he created the animals.
And he had to bow to that one, boy, I'm telling you.
So they ended up buying the cage first, and now she has a new snake, and hopefully it won't get out and join the other. Okay.
Yes, I know. It's so bad. Scary stuff.
Okay. So now, let's go on. It says, now, verse 13. And here we have some science. You know, God knew science years ago, way back in the time the Psalms were written in 1000 BC. It says he watered the hills from his chambers. I go, whoa, wait a minute. His chambers were in the oceans, right? Verse 3, who lays the beams of his chambers in the waters. And now it says he waters the hills from his chambers. And the earth is satisfied with the fruit of your works. This is science right here. Because how does everything work with the fresh water that we have? The sun beats down on the oceans. The oceans begin to evaporate from the heat of the sun and leave the salt behind. Great. And so the water goes up and becomes clouds. And then the Lord sends a wind and blows the clouds over Santa Monica to the hills, and it rains and brings forth bread for the eater and seed for the sower. Isaiah 55. And so it's a cycle, isn't it? And then the rivers run down where? To the ocean. They all find their way to the ocean. And then the cycle starts again. And so listen to it carefully after understanding that the chambers are in the oceans. He waters the hills. How? From his chambers, or clouds that are formed from the ocean. And there it is, science. And the earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle, and herb for the service of man. You know, there's a neat verse right there. I think there is something to being healed through herbs. You know, it says, an herb for the service of man. Take care of man, let's send some herbs. And you know, I think there's something to that. And a blessing. Remember when Isaiah was really sick and he was going to die? The Lord sent, not Isaiah, I'm sorry, King Hezekiah was very sick, and God sent Isaiah the prophet to him. He said, get your house in order, you're going to die. And Isaiah turned his face to the wall. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall, and he said, oh God, I don't want to die, don't let this happen. And the Lord said, okay, I'll give you 15 more years. And he sent Isaiah back to heal him, to heal Hezekiah. And what Isaiah did is took some figs, of all things, and put it on the boils that were associated with the death of Hezekiah. And it was like a drawing salve, and he got healed through it. Hallelujah. And so the herbs and the different things that men learned how to use through the years, and a lot of people use these kinds of things. You can go to Mother's and get a bunch of great stuff. Anyway, let's go on. That he may bring forth fruit of the earth. Now, and wine that makes glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face shine, and bread which strengthens man's hearts. Now, it says, the trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon, which he has planted, where the birds make their nests. Now, isn't that neat? The Lord planted the cedars of Lebanon, which the temple was built from, and David's palace and Solomon's palace, the cedars of Lebanon, for the birds to make their nests. Isn't that just sweet? The Lord taking care of the birds again, just like the sparrow in the New Testament. As for the stork, fir trees are her house. Isn't that interesting? Here are different trees for different kinds of birds. And you know, it's such a blessing at night. If you ever come to church in the evening, maybe when you're on your way to Bible study, you can notice the sounds of the birds landing to bed down for the night. It's quite interesting. There's hundreds and hundreds of birds just in that one tree right out front. I love that tree, I keep telling you that. But you see the birds fly in, and then they're, move over, Jack. Okay, where are you gonna sleep tonight? I think over here, but last night it was over there, but we'll let the kids sleep there tonight. Okay, kids? Okay, anyway. You know, you can just hear them settling in, and then, you know, when you go out there tonight, you'll hear nothing unless you disturb them, and then they'll hit you with something. But that's where they are, and they're in the trees. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I pay her $5 a week to laugh at my jokes. No. Okay, where the birds make their nests. As for the stork lives in the fir tree. So if you're looking for where the babies come from, you have to look for fir trees, right? Because that's where the stork lives, or in her house. Okay. The high hills are a refuge for the wild goats and the rocks for the conies. Now, two things here. Another Hawaii scripture for that afraid time in the airport. After I got settled down a little bit thinking about, you know, the Lord's going to ride his chariot next to the plane, etc., I prayed some very personal prayers. I couldn't decide which sunscreen to put on. The sunscreen with oil in it, or the sunscreen that was oil-free. And so the Lord gave me verse 15. Can you believe this? Look at verse 15. Right in the middle of the verse, it says, oil to make his face to shine. It was blowing me away that I read that verse. And okay, Lord, you're telling me the sunscreen with the oil in it. I guess that's better for Hawaii or something, you know? And I actually put that sunscreen on. And then the Lord also knew that my heart needed to be strengthened for the flight, that I wouldn't be afraid. And so he gave me the next part of the verse. It says at the end of verse 15, and bread which strengthens man's heart. And I had been thinking in my mind, maybe I should eat something. Maybe that'll help me here, because I know my blood sugars drop and I get weird. And so I knew Sherry brought sandwich makings with a hard-boiled egg to make a hard-boiled egg sandwich. But there was another choice. I could just eat a granola bar. And so I was thinking that in my mind. I didn't even pray about it, but I was just sitting there thinking, and the Lord gave this part of the verse for me, bread which strengthens man's heart. In other words, Mark, make a hard-boiled egg sandwich. That's better for you. Put on the sunscreen with the oil and just rest. And, you know, now that, see, if anybody's out there that doesn't know the Lord yet, or that you don't have a really personal relationship with the Lord, you won't understand this. But I know every one of you that's walked with God for any length of time, you understand this. You understand this. God is very personal, and we've got to have a personal relationship with him in order to be saved. It's not religion. It's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And he will answer questions that will blow your mind. It's almost a little bit scary. But you know, the older you get in the Lord, the more you enjoy it. Because you are wanting and willing and waiting just to walk in the perfect will of God. That's all you want. You're not over here thinking, well, what evil thing can I do now? But you're going, God, save me. God, protect me. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. And so when he speaks to you and shows you how close he really is, it's comforting. I'm so glad that he is. I was just diagnosed with breast cancer, and the Lord knew that that would be kind of hard on me in the flesh. And it was so neat. I got to share this testimony with you. I was sitting at my phone waiting for the doctor to call back with what my biopsy said. And as I was sitting there, I got a card, and I have it in my Bible right here. This card from Sissy, who is Joanne Lang's sister, who lives in Hawaii. This is Hawaii night, girls, I'm telling you. And she sent me a card from Hawaii for a pastor's appreciation week or something. And anyway, I'm waiting for the phone to ring. I'm hoping so much it's benign, right? The test is benign for my lump. and it says, fear not, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. So what the Lord was saying to me was, you know what, Mark, the doctor's going to call, and he's going to tell you that you have breast cancer, because I'm going to go through the waters, but he's going to be with me, and I'm not to fear, because I belong to him. And I'm going to go through the rivers, but the last clause, they shall not overflow you. In other words, I'm not going to die. I'm going to be okay. And so everything's cool. Now, I can't explain how God said those things to me through this verse, but you can pick up on a little bit, but it wasn't just words. It was the Spirit of the living God speaking deeply to my heart. So when the doctor called and he said, you've got breast cancer, it was like, okay, thank you, Lord, you showed me that. And then he said, but you're going to be healed. It's just stage one. We're just going to cut it out of there and you'll be fine. And so that's the second thing that God said to me through that verse. It's Isaiah 43, 1 and 2. It shall not overflow you. You're going to keep your head out of the water and get through this thing. And so I was so comforted and so full of joy that God spoke to me individually and personally, even before the doctor did, that I can't explain the grace that's upon me about this whole thing. And, you know, whenever I tell somebody I've got breast cancer, you can always see the eyes get round and they go, oh, hell, you'll probably be okay, you know. But the thing is this grace is so huge, I can't explain it. And I'm really happy for it because, you know, I've been preaching this for years. But to face it and receive the grace that I've always preached about, in reality, in such a time as this, it's huge. It's huge. I am so blessed and thankful to God for his personal word and for going through this. Isn't that funny to say? But it is so incredible. And I've already found out the fruit of it. It's so neat. Michelle Krukenberg, who her husband got Alzheimer's disease and is in the hospital, and her grandson just got cancer and went through an operation and so forth and is fine now. But the new fellowship that Sherry and I have with Michelle Krukenberg, she's been in such great pain for so long with so much bad news. But for her to come running up after the service on Sunday morning, and we fellowship for about an hour, and she just had a joy in her face and she kept looking at me, and I was full of joy because of this grace and strength through the news, you know, the news. and so it was just an amazing thing. I just want to share that with you, and a blessing. God's personalness, his kindness to really, really give us what we need when we need it. Amen.
Amen.
God is good.
All the time.
All the time?
Praise the Lord.
Okay, so make your face to shine with oil. And bread to strengthen your heart. This is good. And so the stork lives in the fir trees and the birds in the cedars of Lebanon. And then verse 18, the high hills are a refuge for the wild goats and the rocks for the conies. This is a great memory for me. If you ever get to go to Israel, go. It's amazing the things that pop out of the Word of God to you from an Israel trip. And of course, we're going a year from now. You can get an application in Didi's office or from me personally. The cost is $3,000 a piece to go, but it's so worth it. It's a trip of a lifetime. But you might not be able to go this time, but go some other time, and indeed you'll be going with Jesus. But there's a place in Israel that groups usually go, and we go each time, is to En Gedi. And En Gedi's by the Dead Sea. It's where David hid out from King Saul with his men. And you hike up through a ravine to the pools and the waterfall where David drank his water and played in the water with his men, and they took their baths and all and whatever. But anyway, it's a beautiful place. And even today at En Gedi, there's wild goats. Just like in the day that's right here, the high hills are a refuge for the wild goats. And you can actually sit down and have a Bible study while wild goats are standing on the hill next to you. And we did that. And then conies. I always wondered what a coney was. Did you ever wonder what a coney was? You read through Proverbs, and here we have it in the Psalms. And the rocks are for the conies. What in the world is a coney? Well, it's this creature with an ice cream cone. No, there's another joke. But it looks like a rabbit. It looks like a rabbit with no ears, which is strange. And it's pretty big. It's a pretty good whopping thing. And it lives in the rocks. As you hike up Angeti, you can see them. And they live in the rocks, and they jump from tree to tree. It's the most amazing thing to see. So there you are with the wild goats from the Bible and the conies. There they are. And you're walking up the path that King David walked up. And the cave of Adullam is up in that area somewhere where he hid out from King Saul. And then to be by the waters where David drank and was with his men. It is quite an experience. And so when I read verse 18, it's just so much fun for me to share. I was there, and you can be there too. And so just a little encouragement to go to Israel when you can. It's like, as Pastor Chuck says, it's like taking a year of seminary. And what a blessing. So this is the creation then of day three. The Lord creating habitations, the Lord now bringing forth the birds and the goats and so forth, to actually come into these habitations. With that, we want to go ahead and look at verses 19 through 23, which would be day four. Day four is when the sun and the moon were created. So again, you go, well, wait a minute. There was the light in day one, but there was light without sun or moon. And the Lord just wants you to know, He's the creator. He can make light without suns and moons. And in fact, when we get to heaven, guess what? Hold on to your chairs. There's going to be no sun in heaven, because Jesus Christ is going to light the place. Woo! Oh, yeah. And that is the truth of it. That's Revelation. In the book of Revelation, chapter 21, you can read that. Okay, so here's day four. Ready for day four? Verses 19 through 23. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knows his going down. I'll make his darkness, and in his night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from God. Isn't that neat? That lions are actually seeking their meat from God. God provides their meat. God provides food for all the animals. And his eyes on the sparrow. And as all the singers have sung through the years that song about his eyes on the sparrow, and so he watches you. The Lord wants to take care of you physically, and he wants to give you the food you need to eat, and it's wonderful to know. And so the young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from God. The sun rises. They gather themselves together and lay down in their dens. Man goes forth unto his work and to his labor until the evening. Isn't that neat? The Lord is putting a setting for man to do his work in the day and come home in the evening to the children and all of the beauties of home. There's no place like home. Didn't that theologian Dorothy say that one day? There's no place like home, Toto. And so it's true. And so man was created in the sixth day. We're still in the fourth day. But we're talking about the sun and the moon, and an effect the sun and the moon have is a man is, generally speaking, led to work in the day and come home in the evening. Everybody I know that works nights is looking for a day job. It's just the way God made it. And so there it is. So there you go. Now, okay, so there's the fourth day. Now, we want to move then to the fifth day, verses 24 through 26. O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of all your riches. so is this great and wide sea, wherein are things creeping innumerable, both small and great beasts. There go the ships. There, the Leviathan. Whoa, what is that? Whom thou hast made to play therein. The Leviathan was made to play in the water. Oh yeah. And this is when God makes all the creatures of the water, the whales, the porpoise, the dolphins, all of them, made on the fifth day. We're at the fifth day, aren't we? Yes. Verses 24 through 26. Now, I can't leave this without talking about Leviathan to you. This is quite a creature. It's actually a sea monster. What? They're real? Yeah, they are. And you know, a lot of times when cartoons are made about stuff or movies and things, those things and things are seen in history and writings and stuff like sea monsters, there's some reality to that. And the reality is Leviathan. Now, Leviathan is mentioned in Psalm 74:14. It's mentioned in Isaiah chapter 27, verse 1. And more specifically, it's mentioned in the book of Job. And a description is given of Leviathan, and I want to read that description to you. And afterwards, I don't think you're not going to believe in sea monsters anymore. But you're going to believe in them because they happen in the book of Job. And let's take a look, Job 41:1. Job 41:1. Now, Job is the oldest book in the Bible. So you got to go back there in history to get to Job. But let's read about Leviathan in chapter 41 of Job. Now, everybody was afraid of this creature. And the point of the chapter 41 is to tell you that God has power over even Leviathan, as Job is writing. Let's read. Can you draw out Leviathan with a hook? I guess he's trying to be funny here. You're going to go down to the Newport Beach Pier and throw your line in and catch Leviathan? I don't think so. Can you draw out Leviathan with the hook or his tongue with the cord which you let down? A rope that you let down to go fishing. Now, what does Leviathan mean? What does that mean literally from the Hebrew? What does it mean? It means a twisted monster, a twisting monster. So it's not like he's crazy, twisted in the head, but he's a twisting monster. That's what Leviathan means in the Hebrew. Now let's get the description of this creature. Verse 15, his scales are his pride, shut up together as with a close seal. In other words, his scales are so tight together, it's like they're sealed. One is so near to another that no air can come between them. Of course, he's a sea monster. He needs a little protection down there. They are joined one to another. They stick together, that they cannot be sundered or torn apart. Now look at verse 18. This is good. By his sneezings, ha-choo, a light does shine. Whoa, that's kind of like the phosphorescence red tide thing or something. But when this twisting monster sneezed, a light shines out. And his eyes are like the eyelids of the morning. Out of his mouth, man, settle in on this one. Just listen carefully to this one. Out of his mouth goes burning lamps. And sparks of fire leap out. Boy, where have you heard of that before? You know, those things that breathe fire. A fire-breathing dragon. Whoa! Out of his nostrils goes smoke. As out of a seething pot or a cauldron. Somebody's cooking. His breath kindles coals, and a flame goes out of his mouth. That's pretty direct, if you ask me. There's another one where it says that he makes the deep boil. Yeah, verse 31. He makes the deep to boil like a pot. He makes the sea like a pot of ointment. He makes a path to shine after him when he goes in the water. One would think the deep to be hoary. Hoary means the deep looks like it's got white hair. That's white water. Upon earth there is not his like, who is made without fear. He's not afraid of anything. He beholds all high things. He is a king over all the children of pride. And so this description here, it just tells me there were sea monsters. And so you can tell your kids. It's so fun to take your child or grandchild to these scriptures, maybe in a more modern translation even. It's even funner because they understand better. And read it to them and say, see, son or daughter or baby girl, baby boy, God made sea monsters. And there they were. And of course, they're gone today, or maybe they're hiding in Ireland. What's that thing called? The Loch Ness Monster. Yeah, you never know. There was a scientist that went down to Brazil in the Amazon area and swears that he saw a sea monster in one of the lakes or whatever it is back there that's attached to the Amazon River. So, boy, you know, it's just neat. It's exciting to think about. The Bible is so full of many exciting, wonderful things. Okay, so that's day 5. Now, we want to go on for day 6, verses 27 through 30 of Psalm 104. And so it says this. These wait all upon you. The creation is finished. All of these animals, all of these fish, all of these birds, and including man, wait on the Lord for their food. And that's what we're doing now. And I really think this recession is just about turn to God and allow him to feed you. I really do. These wait all upon thee, that you may give them their meat in due season when they need to eat. You give it to them, Lord, not the 401k, not the savings account, not Ludwig van Drake Corporation, none of that. Those are nice things, and praise God that God's blessed our country with lots of ability to save 401ks or whatever, but it's not what does the trick. It's the Lord. The Lord's who feeds the animals and feeds us. These wait all upon thee, that you may give them their meat in due season, that you may give them, they gather, thou open your hand, they are filled with good. You, Lord, you open your hand, and they are filled with good. Thou hidest thy face, they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath, they die and return to their dust. Thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created. And actually, spirit can be translated here breath. He breathed into man, and man became a living soul. Thou sendest forth thy breath, or thy spirit, they are created, and thou renewest the face of the earth. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in his works. He looks on the earth, and it trembles, meaning that the earth has earthquakes. Does anybody know about earthquakes? Yeah. I think here in California, we'll all raise our hands. Yeah, he looks on the earth, and there's an earthquake. Trembles. He touches the hills, they smoke. In other words, he sends lightning. Anybody ever see a tree hit by lightning? Yeah, Sherry and I had that happen on the way back from Bakersfield one night. Oh, man, that was something to see. We're just going along the regular old whatever it is. It used to be just a street, I think. Now it's more like a freeway. We're coming back from Bakersfield, and we just started going steady. We went to a football game out there, and the lightning hits a tree right next to our car. And the thing sparks and blows up. Well, see, that was the Lord. He was warning us about something. I don't know. Anyway, and so he touches the hills and they smoke. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. And then verse 35 is prophetic about Revelation chapter 20 and 21. Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul, praise ye the Lord. And so this beautiful, vivid, poetic in detail, praising God for creation and his big plan that's so large and yet so personal. Hallelujah. And so let's go ahead and take the exhortation here. Praise the Lord. It's singing. And that's back in, I will sing to the Lord as long as I live, verse 33. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. And so we want to do that. But let's pray, and we'll have the band come back up, and we'll have some singing to end. So Father, we thank you for this psalm. It's dramatic. It's awesome. Lord, you're awesome. You are way awesome. You are way, way, way awesome, Lord. And so we thank you, Father, for your awesomeness. We serve a living God, and you're alive and well, and you're coming again. And Jesus, we look for that day. So we say, come quickly, Lord Jesus, even so, come quickly. And so, Lord, we pray you'd bless each one personally, very deeply this week, maybe even tonight, Lord, that everyone in this room would have a personal encounter with you, that you would bring the joy of the Spirit and, Lord, the answers to small or large or medium questions because of your great, great love and delight for us. We thank you, Lord, for it so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, may the Lord just give you a great night, a great week. May you just see the silver lining in every chariot of God, the clouds themselves. May God just give you a faith that just bursts out and you can't keep still about it. May the Lord just take real good care of you, spiritually, physically, mentally. God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.